The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
And we are going to turn to the part in this service where we look at the Bible and see what it has to teach us. So what's going to happen is soon Ed, our vicar, will come up and teach us from the Bible. But before that, I'm going to hand over to Lily. And Lily is going to come and read a part of the Bible. It's John chapter 1. And if you've got the service sheet, you'll be able to see it on your service sheet.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came to the Father, full of grace and truth.
Wonderful. Well, good afternoon to you all on this very exciting afternoon. And I would love us just to spend time looking at just one verse that Lily has just read for us. And the verse is this. It's a wonderful verse from John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We're just going to spend a few moments thinking about this verse. And to help us do this, I want to talk about pets. Anyone like pets around here? We are a nation of pet-loving people, the UK, and there are apparently 38 million pets in the UK. Did you know that? 38 million pets in the UK. Dogs like these up here on the screen, there are 13 million dogs. Can you believe it? 13 million dogs. Apparently 69% of people, so just over two-thirds of people, would describe themselves as animal lovers. So we are a nation of animal lovers. And I wonder, is that you? Now, here's my question. Why talk about pets? Why talk about dogs? Here's my question. Imagine that all the dogs in this country were in real trouble, deep, deep trouble. They were in great distress. And imagine this, that the only way to rescue these dogs was for you to become one. That's the only way to rescue these dogs was for you to become one. How would you feel about that? Would you be willing to become a dog in order to rescue all the dogs? You would have to really love and care a lot about dogs, wouldn't you? I mean, I guess you might think for the first few minutes it could be really fun. I mean, just imagine how fast you can run as a dog. Just imagine all the attention you get as a dog. It could be great fun to start with. But then I suspect over time it would be a little bit frustrating. You couldn't really do what you want to do. You keep getting put on lead. The food becomes a little bit repetitive, a bit boring perhaps. You can't speak. You can't even think very deeply. So if you were to become a dog in order to save all the dogs, you would have to really care and love those dogs, wouldn't you? Now, why talk about dogs on Christmas Eve? Well, there's an author you might have come across called C.S. Lewis. He's the guy who wrote the Narnia Chronicles and the Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe and other books like that. And he used this as an illustration to describe what is happening at Christmas, what we celebrate at Christmas. God taking on a human nature, becoming a human being. That verse we had read, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And what is extraordinary is that just shows the amazing love of God, the amazing care of God, the amazing kindness of God to stoop down, to take on a human nature and to become one of us. C.S. Lewis called it the grand miracle. The grand miracle. The Word becoming flesh. The one who made the world. That's what the Word describes. God himself is called the Word. He's the one who made everything. And yet he came into the world that he made, taking on flesh. That's what that word Emmanuel we were just singing about. Johnny and Jess were helping us with. It means God with us. And it's an amazing thing. It means that it is possible to know God. It is possible to know God. Now think of it like this. Can anyone tell me who lives in this house here? Can anyone tell me who lives in this house? Any thoughts? Any ideas? Chuck them out. Go on, who lives in this house?
The king,
do you agree? King? King Charles, yes, King Charles lives in this house indeed. Here's a slightly harder one. Who lives in this house? Anyone knows who lives in this house? If I give you a clue, it's in Rhode Island. Rhode Island, any thoughts? It could be an actor or actress. That's good to think, sort of showbiz world. Absolutely, you've got an idea here. Taylor Swift. I knew there'd be someone who'd know that. That is one of Taylor Swift's many houses, I suspect. Now, my guess is that very few people have been into those houses. Maybe you've visited Buckingham Palace. I doubt many have gone to Rhode Island to Taylor Swift's beach house. And therefore, it's quite difficult to get to know the people who live there, I guess, isn't it? To get to know Taylor Swift or King Charles. Well, imagine this. Imagine, again, that King Charles or Taylor Swift, you can choose which one. Imagine they came to live in Teddington. In fact, they had just bought a house round the corner on Fulwell Road. Let's say Fulwell Road. And they've come to live there. And they're hanging out in Teddington. They pop out to Londis to get some milk. They go to Toscana to get a coffee. Weekly shop in Lidl. Pop down to Teddington High Street for some Christmas presents and all the rest of it. Can you imagine that? And what would happen if they were living around here? I guess people would bump into them and gradually get to know them. And that's the question, isn't it? If they were doing that, that would be a remarkable thing. It'd be a remarkable thing. Do you see how amazing it is that God came to live with us? That verse again, John 1 verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He made his dwelling among us. That literally means God has pitched his tent among us. He has moved into the neighborhood. That is an extraordinary thing. It means he's knowable. Here's the question, though. What's he like? I mean, I guess if King Charles or Taylor Swift moved into Teddington, one of the big topics of conversation going on would be, what are they like? What are they really, really like? Well, what is God like? As God comes into this world, as he takes on a human nature, what do we learn about God? Well, let me read to you the rest of that verse from John 1 verse 14. We read this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full, these are the two key words, he came full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. I just want to think about those two things. First, he came full of truth. Now, I've got a game for us to play. And this game is it real or is it a fake? Okay, is it real or is it a fake? So first up, I think we'll get pictures of these as well, but I'm holding up here a gold coin. Do we think this is real or fake? Put your hand up if you think it's real. A real gold coin. Put your hand up if you think it's fake. It's a fake gold coin. Of course it's a fake gold coin, and there's chocolate on the inside, and you might get one of these at some point over Christmas. Okay, here's another one. I've got another thing down here. Here's a lovely poinsettia plant. You'll see lots of these around Christmas time. Is this one real or is it fake? Have a closer look at it. Look at the picture. Put your hand up if you think it's real. Put your hand up if you think it's fake. Yeah, this is real. This is a real poinsettia plant. We've actually got a number of fakes around the church, but this one is real. Okay, last one. Now, this is, here we go. I've got a very lovely piece of jewellery here with what's called an opal stone. An opal stone in it. Now, these opal stones, they are worth a lot of money, opal stones. They cost a lot. Is this real or is this fake? Put your hand up if you think it's real. Put your hand up if you think it's fake. Oh, I think you're quite split on that one. It is actually fake. It is fake, but it's brilliantly made. It's a brilliantly made fake. Is it real or is it fake? You might have read a few weeks ago this lovely story of Dee Harrison, age 56 from Ipswich. She was driving out in Suffolk very early one morning, 5:15 a few weeks ago in the morning. She was out and about and she saw this picture in the skies, this amazing scene in the sky. And she saw it and thought, wow, that is incredible. The Northern Lights, that is absolutely amazing. And she took some photos. She went home. She put the photos onto social media. And then someone got in touch to say, that's not actually the Northern Lights. That is Suffolk Sweet Tomatoes Farm, which is a tomato factory. And actually what they have is massive red LED lights that light the tomatoes to try and make them grow. And that is what's glowing in the air. And she's sort of seen the Northern Lights. That one was a fake. The Northern Lights look a bit like this. Here are the real Northern Lights, which you might have had the privilege of seeing. And they're absolutely stunning. Now, so often in life, it doesn't really matter whether something's real or whether something's fake, but sometimes it really does matter. And when it comes to God, and when it comes to Jesus Christ, it matters more than anything. Is Jesus the real deal? There is no more important question than that. Is he really God with a human nature? Is it really the grand miracle that C.S. Lewis calls it? Because you see, if he's fake, if he's not really real, then we can largely ignore him. Yeah, we can enjoy the Christmas story, sing a few carols, stuff like that, but he's not that significant to our lives. But if he's real, if he really is full of truth, then that makes all the difference in the world. It means that we have to take him and what he says very, very seriously. More than that, he's someone who, if he is God himself, has to become our Lord. Someone that we should worship. Now, these are big things to think through. And I'd love to commend a book that we are giving away for free this Christmas. A gift from us as a church, which is a really helpful book for thinking through this question. Is Jesus the real deal or not? It's Rebecca McLaughlin. Is Christmas Unbelievable? She writes a number of chapters. Here are the headings of the chapters, which are just great questions for us to be thinking about. Was Jesus even a real person? Don't know if you ever thought that question. Was he even real? Did he even exist? Can we take the gospel seriously? How can you believe in a virgin birth? Why does it matter? This is a fantastic book. I really commend it to you. There are some on the table on the way out, and it's our gift to you. We'd love you, if you haven't yet done so, to take some time this Christmas to think this one through. If Jesus is real, it matters more than anything in the world. If he's not real, it doesn't really matter so much. So the Bible says he came full of truth. Lastly, he also came full of grace, full of grace. Now, we need to understand a little bit about what this word grace means. And Simon and Rob are going to help us a little bit think about what this word grace means. So I'm going to let these guys go for it.
Boys and girls, I am so excited. Okay, I get a gift from Rob, and I've been waiting for weeks for this gift. You will not believe what he got me last year. Do you want to know what he got me last year? He got me a T-shirt that says Chelsea is the best football club in London. And do you know why that's really crazy? It's because he's a West Ham fan.
You know what, Simon? Merry Christmas. You know I love you. Now, I know you've been playing a lot of cricket with Noah. And I know you said his bowling was a bit too fast for you. So I thought I'd give you a Christmas gift that would help you out with Noah. Because, you know, I think you need some help.
Can I open it?
Yeah, please. Open it. Some protection just for Noah's fast bowling.
Normally we do about £20, don't we, Rob? This says £50 on it. £50. But
well, why is it £50?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a cricket helmet, right? They're expensive. They've got to protect this, right? It's important. And you know what? Actually, it says 50 quid, but look, it's actually Kookaburra. So I had to get it mail order from Australia. So, and I did my Christmas shopping a bit last minute. So an extra 20 quid probably. So if we call it 70 quid for the...
70.
Yeah, for the helmet and the mail order.
I've only got 20. Do you take Apple Pay?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Let's make sure this doesn't work. Yeah, good. Great, brilliant. Thank you. Should we call it a deal? Great,
Merry
thanks.
Christmas.
Thank you for that. That was really good.
Well, what do we make of that? There is Rob giving Simon his Christmas present. Is that how we give Christmas presents? Do we give a Christmas present and then we see them and find out the price tag and then pay back how much it costs? Do we do that at Christmas? That's not what you do with presents, isn't it? You don't do that. That's ridiculous to do. The great thing about presents is that they're free. Someone's giving you a gift for free. You don't have to pay for it. Of course, someone has to pay for a gift, but that's the person who's giving the gift, not the person who's receiving it. We need to tell Simon and Rob, maybe afterwards, just mention that to them so they can get it all right for this Christmas. But a gift is a gift, isn't it? It's for free. And the word grace means a gift. Jesus came full of grace. He was a gift from God to us, giving us what we most need. And it doesn't mean this gift doesn't come at a cost. God himself took on a human nature. That came at an enormous cost. And then the cost continues as we go on to Easter. And we remember that Jesus gave his very life in order to rescue us, in order to pay for our sins, to rescue us from sin and death. There was a great cost, but the amazing truth of Jesus Christ coming with grace is that he's saying, I'm willing to pay that cost. I'm willing to pay that cost and to give you life in my name as a gift. Entirely for free. Now, there's so much more that could be said about this. That is for another day. And actually, I'd love to encourage you, if you haven't spent much time thinking through who Jesus is and the gift that he is, I would love to encourage you, come back to church in the new year. We're here every Sunday, 10:30 in the morning, 5:15 in the evening. We run groups for all ages and stages and obviously for adults as well. And we spend every Sunday time thinking, remembering what it means for Jesus Christ to be full of grace,
the grace, the gift that is Jesus Christ to us. I would love to welcome you back in the new year for that. But for now, don't leave this gift unwrapped. You know how sometimes a present can be left unwrapped, not noticed, under the tree? Don't leave this gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, unwrapped this Christmas. Because Jesus brings the peace that our anxious souls crave. He brings the joy and love that our weary hearts long for. He brings the purpose and meaning that our restless wills seek. He brings the knowledge and truth that our finite minds hunger for. And he brings the life and hope that our decaying bodies most need. All these things are given to us in Jesus Christ, the most perfect presence, the one who came full of truth, full of grace. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.